Our scripture reading today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 29, and ending in 12, verse 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, it's my honor to be with you this morning. I'm definitely a friend of this congregation and many in this congregation. Molly, as Bill mentioned, and my friend Talitha will be here this year with you in this congregation. I have friends from my husband's work, a yoga partner, and people that I work with at Piedmont Gardens every Sunday night leading worship with them. So I'm really honored to be here. Would you pray with me? God, help us find ourselves in this long line of people of faith today. And I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I began to run over a year ago. I'd always wanted to run. I loved the idea of it. It seemed so freeing and empowering, but I had never really been very athletic. However, one day after years of slowly moving towards greater health, and I decided to try it out. About this time, I decided to start training for a half marathon in May. In January, my training began in earnest. I started with 3 miles, and then 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 11. Almost every Saturday morning early this year, I got up, stretched out, and went running. I trained alone for the most part. Some weeks it felt great, and other weeks I could barely make it. I was up and down, fighting off injuries and my own lethargy all the way. I learned a lot about myself. How I get really nervous when I do something I've never done before. I learned that my mind can be stronger than my body. And I learned that I can run farther, faster, and freer when I listen to music. On the night before the race, I almost gave up. If I hadn't told so many people I was going to run, I wouldn't have done it. I was tired, I was recovering from an injury, and I was nervous about my ability to run 13.1 miles. But I had to save face. Even if I walked the whole thing, I had to do it. Nothing prepared me for what I found the next day when I arrived at the starting line in Alameda. This was a women's marathon, and so there were thousands of women there. I believe about 3,000 women ran. All sizes, shapes, colors, and ages. The energy was incredible. I looked around and I thought about all the mornings that I had been getting up and going running all by myself, and I realized that all of these women had been doing the same thing. I said goodbye to my family and I joined a big group of people waiting at the starting line. As I began to run, it was an experience beyond anything I had ever had before or could have imagined. Running alongside so many others was an inspiration. For the entire 13.1 miles, I was on the verge of tears. Young mothers ran to the sidelines to hug their children who were cheering them on. Friends ran alongside each other, sharing words of encouragement. Inspirational quotes were posted all along the route for us. Strangers came out to cheer us on. Around mile 10, I rounded a corner to see my husband and my daughters there, waving wildly. My girls ran alongside me for a little while. Inspirational music blasted in my iPod, providing a soundtrack that kept me moving. In the end, I shaved a full minute per mile off of my normal time, and I felt better than I ever had before. This race was by far one of the most spiritual experiences of my life. I came into it unsure and afraid, having run on my own for so long, and found others, thousands of others, who were doing the same thing, running in the same race. My vision was expanded, and my feet became lighter in the company of thousands of others running along with me. This is how I imagine this passage in Hebrews. Hebrews 11 is a litany of runners in a race. Abel, Cain, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. The story goes on and on of those who ran in faith. In the list, there are kings and prostitutes, liars, cheats, government officials, women and men, prophets, the courageous and the fearful, the generous and the greedy, who in the end were all people of faith. The stories are powerful and sensational. Conquered kingdoms, justice administered, shutting the mouths of lions, quenching the fury of the flames, escaping the edge of the sword, resurrected dead, torture, mocking, flogging, people put in chains, stoned and sawed in half. Not our usual Sunday text. The group that we run in as a people of faith is not a group of wimps, to be sure. Stories of the scriptures are full of a lot of crazy and courageous folks. The image of a race was familiar to the audience of the Hebrews. The marathon race at the Olympics, the ancient Olympic Games, began far away from the city. And as the runners got closer and closer, more and more people gathered around them. And as they took their final lap in the stadium, there were thousands of people cheering them on. And here the writer imagines us as runners in the marathon of life, surrounded by all who have gone before us. We run in the same trajectory as these witnesses. The story is still going. Some want to say that it's all done. They may pin the end to when Jesus was dying on the cross, or maybe it seems the work was done when Luther nailed his 95 Theses, or when John Calvin preached in Geneva. Or maybe it feels like the work was done 50 years ago when the church rolls were long and families filled the sanctuaries of Presbyterian churches. But listen to chapter 11, verses 39 to 40 again. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I'm not sure all the writer intended here, but I think for sure it means this. We are connected to these people and a part of the same story. Our story is tied up with theirs in some mysterious way. It's our natural inclination as Americans in the 21st century to think that we're doing this all on our own. Life easily becomes about my story, my way, my own journey. It isn't really any of your business how I live my life because it is mine. And while there is certainly a level of ownership that we all must take in our own lives, it is not all about me, and it is not all about you. My story is only significant as it is set in the larger context of the stories around me. It is precisely for this reason that the church is so countercultural these days. Here we are as a group of people trying to consciously run together in the same race. It's not a very popular thing to do right now. As I go from hospital room to hospital room, and I work as a chaplain this summer, I meet people who have decided to leave the church and for whom religion has become their own private thing. And I certainly understand their position and can't blame them. Religion does sometimes have a way of getting in the way of faith. This summer, in fact, the novelist Anne Rice, as you may have heard, who had returned to Catholicism 12 years ago after years as an atheist, announced that she was leaving the church but continuing to follow Christ. She had very good reasons. This is what she said. "In the name of Christ, I refuse to be anti-gay. I refuse to be anti-feminist. I refuse to be anti-artificial birth control. I refuse to be anti-democrat. I refuse to be anti-secular humanism. I refuse to be anti-science. I refuse to be anti-life. In the name of Christ, I quit Christianity and being a Christian. Amen." That was a Facebook post, by the way. I imagine there are a few of us here who have thought about leaving Christianity for some of the very same reasons. In fact, I'm greatly sympathetic with Anne, and I, having had my own long-term struggles with institutionalized religion, and I respect Anne's choice to leave, but in many ways, her reasons to leave are the reasons that I want to stay. I want to be a part of changing the conversation about what Christianity is, and I believe that beyond these issues of gay, feminism, birth control, politics, humanism, and science, there lies something truly compelling in participating in this crazy and broken institution we call the church. Because when I'm a part of the church, I am consciously placing myself in the lineup of the faithful that Hebrews talks about. I'm choosing to believe that despite our institutionalized lethargy and self-protectiveness, there is something more. When I am a part of the church, I'm not allowed to run alone. I find this both irritating and inspirational, that the church continues to ask for our involvement in a story that is larger than ourselves, that it asks us to live a networked, connected life. We are part of a larger web, and we need places to go to be reminded of this. None of us can run this race alone. One of the most important functions of Scripture, of community, of gathering together in places like this, is to be reminded of the cloud of witnesses. It is here we are called to move beyond ourselves as individuals and as a group in blessing the world. The writer of Hebrews calls us beyond our contemporary networks of those we can see and touch to an ancient, historic network of memory in which we remember and are inspired by the many who have gone before us, setting an example of faith. We are called in this passage to run with them, realizing that their work is not complete without our work. My friend and professor Dwight Friesen says, "The people of God are not a hermetically sealed group of elect, holy, and men and women who stand apart from culture and society. Rather, our new networked identity as a people is to be a blessing to others, like yeast worked through dough, like a cluster of blessing in the complexity of a city. This is why we come together. This is why we work together. This is why we read that crazy holy book and try to figure out what it means. This is why we sing. This is why we have rituals and sacraments that pull us into the larger story of God's work in the world. We do all of these things because they remind us that we are not alone. We are together in community so that we can be together in this world, a cluster of blessing in the complexity of a city. And in this place of memory, in the place where we rehearse and remember those that have gone before, these words are spoken in Hebrews 12. So then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every impediment and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. This is where the network becomes personal. Running the race requires getting up in the morning, and going for a run. Or sometimes it just requires us to get up. It means understanding where I am living and what I have to give. It means taking responsibility for my own resources and time. It means taking seriously the things in our life that pull us back from being networked. It means leaving behind the things that make us forgetful of the race that we are in. This is not about asceticism for the sake of self-denial or about moralism for the sake of some sort of purity. This is about living life abundantly, as Jesus says. It is about daily living a life of gratitude in response to God's goodness to us. It is not about the one-time decision, but about the constant cycle of laying aside the weights that build up and carefully examining the sin that so easily entangles. I have lived long enough to know that the work is never over. And I know that some days it feels like those morning runs where my feet are leaden and my heart is discouraged. But there are other days and other moments where I know the beauty of the race. And in those moments, when those moments come, I open myself up more honestly to others in community. They come when I take time to be reminded in a community about the larger picture of the race. They come when I offer myself to others as a blessing. They come when I remember that I am networked with others. They come when other people come alongside me and hold me and run alongside me when I'm too tired to run alone. The sermon is a bit of a cheerleading sermon for me, for you, for this community here in Oakland during your time of transition. Later in Hebrews 12, the writer says, "So lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed." I hope today you are reminded of the runners that are running with you, ancient runners, contemporary runners, and future runners. You are not running alone. You are a part of this crazy bunch of people, the kings and the prostitutes, the liars, the cheats, the government officials, women and men, prophets, the courageous and the fearful, the generous and the greedy, that somehow, in God's grace, are called out to be people of faith. And it is God's gracious act to ask you to throw off the weights and the sin that holds you back, and to run with endurance the race that is marked out for you, so that you can live life, so that you can run freely, so that you can bless others, so that you can be a part of this great journey of faith that is not always clear, but always an adventure. And my prayer for you as a community is that you will continue to be this for each other and for this world, to run together in this great race, cheering each other on, and being a place of blessing in this community. Let us run together the race that is set before us. Amen.